Welcome to another edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments, new paradigms, and the panorama of good work our vibrant community continues to do day in and day out. Located not far from our Port Townsend community, there's a magical place tucked away among the fir, hemlock, and old-growth cedars called Raincoast Farms and Vineyard. 5 acres have been cleared for gardens, greenhouses, and a rustic barn, all part of a 17-acre farm. In either of 2 of the 4 greenhouses there, you can find the farm's former owner, Dick Schneider, tending lovingly to a collection of unique species and selected hybrid orchids. There's a name connected with his efforts. It's the Raincoast Orchid Recovery Project. Dick Schneider, welcome to Community Tides.
Well, thanks so much. We're just so happy to have you here.
Dick, this is one of my favorite places on the planet, truly. I'm surrounded right now by I don't even know how many species of orchids. And I see this to be not only a beautiful respite, but also your life's work. And I'm really wanting to hear about that. How did you get into collecting orchids? And tell us about this beautiful spot we're standing in.
Orchids became a hobby of mine about 8 or 10 years ago. I really didn't know very much about orchids. I was more into tomatoes and strawberries and apples and other things here that were growing at Raincoast. But over time, when we sold the farm, I decided I, of course, needed a new focus. And just orchids called to me. It was one of those things. You know, we do live at 49 degrees north, and that's pretty darn far north for orchids. So trying to grow unusual species of tropical plants in our environment is an understatement to say it's a challenge because of the humidity and the temperature and the air movement and all the things that are found in the tropics but just aren't found in the Northwest. So I like a challenge, and this presented the sort of thing that kind of grabbed me. And I had the opportunity to do it. I had the space and the time. Kind of off we went.
All 3 of us are standing right here in the greenhouse. Tell us some history of the farm. How did that all come about? That's 17 acres.
Well, not only that, but it's here in Port Townsend. It's not out in the boonies somewhere. When I retired about 20 years ago, like everybody else who came to Port Townsend, was looking for something to do, something to contribute. And I got interested in the food system, and I realized how vulnerable we were out here, and as many people have, that's certainly not a unique thought. And I decided that I'd like to maybe work with the local farmers to try to determine which varieties of known plants would grow well here in our environment. And a lot of our farmers really didn't study to be farmers. They studied to be English majors. And so they came out here wanting to save the world and save the earth, and we all wanted them here, but maybe they didn't pick the right variety of whatever, and it wouldn't really grow here. It grew well in Aunt Susie's garden in Iowa, but not here in Port Townsend. So I, having a technical background a long time ago, decided to take on the challenge of trying to figure out which variety of known fruits and vegetables would really be the best variety to give the best yield, the highest quality, and the best taste that we could offer, and then share that information openly with all the local farmers, which is a project we took on about 10 years ago. And it worked out very well. We have lots of tomatoes around Port Townsend these days, and I like to take a small amount of credit for finding the right varieties that really grow well here, and our local farmers picked that up, and there you go. When that project was pretty much underway, and maybe I could say wrapped up, we did the same thing with strawberries, with all kinds of fruits, berries. We grow a lot of thornless berries here at Raincoast. And again, all of the information that came out of the studies we did was shared pretty openly with anybody who asked. And one by one, we kind of knocked off all the major species of interest. And when that was pretty much behind us, I then began to look for something else to do. And the something else to do turned out to be orchids, wouldn't you know?
And you sold the farm, and you are now working specifically in 2 of the 4 greenhouses here, is that correct?
Yeah, right. I've been very fortunate to rent back, lease back, two of the greenhouses from Mike Gady and Linda and Margaret. And they let me hang out here. And if they need a little help on the farm, if I can do it, I'm, of course, more than happy to do it. But I'm here. And Rain Coast is me. But we changed it from Rain Coast Farm to Rain Coast Orchids.
So, Dick, describe for our listeners what we're looking at here in this greenhouse. What number of species? What are they?
The greenhouse we're in right now is the one that houses pretty much my private collection. And these are tropical plants from all over the world. There's probably close to 600 plants in here. That's why it's as crowded as it is. And what you're looking at are mostly orchids, but there are also lots of ferns. There's anthurium. There's begonias and other interesting tropical plants that I somehow can't say no to. So we make room for them all. We're in the midst of those plants as we stand here.
There's a mystique about orchids. At least there was when I was a kid. I mean, I would rarely see an orchid. And when I did, I couldn't figure out what it was, where it came from, and why it was revered and why they were so expensive. What changed over time?
Now, there's a first-rate question there. First of all, they were very expensive. And usually when high cost is associated with something that we want, it's usually because of availability. It's just not available, and supply and demand pretty much dictates where the price goes. Well, many years ago, I would say maybe 20 years ago, the biotechnology industry figured out how to clone some of these orchids. So they were not raised from seeds. If you raised an orchid from seed, it would take anywhere from 7 to 15 years before it would flower. Well, there goes the supply and demand issue. If you got to wait 15 years for a plant to go from seed to bloom, well, there's a lot of cost involved in that, and therefore the price of orchids became very expensive. But after cloning techniques were developed, a portion of tissue from any given plant could grow back the same plant in about a year to 3 years. And a lot of that technology came out of the United States, but was practiced largely in Asia because the cost of labor was so low. So in Thailand and Japan, Taiwan, whatever, that's where most of these orchids are coming from. And almost all of these that you see, at least in our stores, are hybrids. They're not species orchids. They're hybrid orchids. And they are clones of one another. When cloning became possible, the price went way down. And now orchids, Phalaenopsis orchids or moth orchids, are the ones we see in our local stores, can often be picked up for anywhere from $8 to $20 a plant. And over the years, these lovely plants became the number one houseplant in the United States. They took over from poinsettias and African violets and others, but it's now orchids. And it became possible because of these cloning techniques that brought the price way down.
The prevalence of orchids. I mean, tell me about the life of an orchid. What happens with the average orchid?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that orchids are the largest group of flowering plants on Earth. Most people have no concept of that, and I didn't either when I started. It just for some numbers of reference, there are 365,000 species of flowering plants. Orchids, as a family, are over 30,000. There are 30,000 species of orchids. That's almost 10% of all of the flowering plants on our planet. That's a lot of species. It's the largest group of flowering plants. And among those 30,000 species are millions and millions of hybrids where two species have been crossed and a new plant, a hybrid plant, has been made. So there are literally millions, maybe hundreds of millions of different types of orchids. You see them really now all over the world. One of the real attractions that all of us have to these plants, there's about three. One is they're beautiful. You look at them and you say, they're just gorgeous. It's not the plant, it's the flower. The second is, again, the flower. It lasts a long, long, long time. unlike a bunch of daisies, which lasts for maybe 5 days, maybe less, or maybe a day or two more. An orchid, as a flowering plant, might last 3 months to 4 months. So you spend $8 or $10 for an orchid, and you have this beautiful plant flowering in your home for 3 months. That's why they became the most popular houseplant here in the United States, because they last so long.
Dick, you mentioned we see these orchids all over the world. We also see them all over Port Townsend and Jefferson County, and thanks in large part to your role as the orchid doctor and the orchid recovery program. And I was wondering if you could tell us about how that started.
Yeah, another great question. Thanks, Siobhan. When people started realizing that I got interested in orchids and that I was able to grow them, largely because we could duplicate the conditions close to the tropics where most of them came from, people started bringing me orchids. These were orchids that they had bought at Costco or QFC or Safeway, and they had bloomed, and the bloom had expired, and they waited and waited for it to bloom again, and it just didn't do it. Well, part of the reason it didn't was because the humidity wasn't quite right, or the temperature wasn't quite right, or there was a draft, whatever. It wasn't the tropics, and that little orchid just was not going to rebloom. So they said, well, maybe we'll bring it to Dick. Let's see what he can do with it. But if you put it in a tropical environment and you feed it and take care of it, by golly, you can get them to rebloom. So people would bring us orchids. In fact, they just gave them to us because they couldn't get them to bloom. And when we got them to bloom, we were excited about it and thrilled that we were able to do it. But then we had to realize we didn't have enough space. We needed to have an exit strategy, and our exit strategy turned out to give them away, to donate them to the healthcare system, or to anybody here in town who might be recovering from cancer or surgery or a broken leg, heaven forbid, any of those things. If we heard about it, we would just give them an orchid. And pretty soon the hospice program started to contact us, and we provided orchids for them. And then Jill Bueller, who's chairman of the hospital commission here in town at Jefferson General, said, gee, we'd like to put them in our clinics. We'd like to put them in doctor's offices, nurses' stations. We'll take all you got. And she's been just terrific. She comes over whenever we call, and a load of orchids gets put in her new Tesla, and off she goes. So the orchids are donated by local citizens. They're brought back to life if we can do it. We can't do it on all the orchids. Some of them are too far gone when we get them. But if we can do it, they then get passed through us and donated to a healthcare provider.
That must be a great feeling to see, I call them creatures, to see them resurrected, to see them come from near death to a vibrant life.
Well, isn't that what the healthcare system is all about? So we're just, you know, doing our little part for that. We enjoy doing it, and to the extent that we've been successful, great. It's kind of interesting to know that almost 1,300 orchids have been donated to this project. It's called the Orchid Recovery Project, Giving Orchids a Second Chance. And that project has attracted about 1,300 orchids, some from as far away as Connecticut, New York, and Florida, who heard about us. They will send them. But mostly they come from our local citizens, friends of ours. And of the 1,300, about 450 have found their way into Jefferson General.
Well, that's orchids in and orchids out. So where are you at now? Are you able to satisfy the supply?
Well,
Or the demand?
I'd like to say the problem's on the supply side of the equation. If we had more orchids, we could at least try to recover them. And there are people who would like to have them. So the issue for us is getting more orchids. And we were talking to Siobhan one afternoon, and she said, oh my goodness, she says, what an interesting project. Maybe we'll get on the radio and maybe say a few things, and maybe we can attract people to think about saving their orchids instead of throwing them away if they don't bloom or they can't get them to bloom.
So as the proud owner of 3 unblooming orchids, how would I donate my orchids to you? And how would everyone in our community get in touch?
You know, it's so much fun doing an interview with the two of you because you ask such great questions. And you get me started, which is a little dangerous. You know, I always tell people that when I answer their question and I see their eyes glaze over, I realize I might have gone a little bit too far. But anyway, if people have orchids that they'd like to donate to the project, they can bring them to us at Raincoast Farms or Raincoast Orchids. They can contact me anytime at all, dickschneiderpt@gmail.com. We've got a wonderful volunteer who helps me take care of the Phalaenopsis orchids, the moth orchids. That's Lindsay Mayo. And Lindsay is here quite often, and she'll meet with you anytime at all. All you need to do is give us a call, leave us an email, talk to Siobhan, and we'll be happy to take your orchids in. And by the way, when they come in, each is given a number, each is given a date, and we write in our lab book who we got them from, what condition it was in, when that was given to us, the date it was given to us, and what we did with it, if we repotted it or pruned it or whatever. And then during the course of its time here at Raincoast, it gets periodic entries, and when it's given away or passes away, it's so noted in the book. So we can tell you, if you've given us an orchid, and we want to encourage you to think about doing that, where that orchid went and when it went, if you're interested. We'll even send you a picture of your orchid in bloom so that you are connected, just as we are, to these beautiful plants.
What a wonderful thing. Detailed chronology and history of an orchid. I got one last question for you, Dick Schneider. What kind of personal inspiration do you get from the flower itself?
Well, boy, you really... I think they're beautiful. Just flat out beautiful. And they're so varied. They're just infinitely interesting to me. And... I like it. I also like doing things that other people either can't do or don't want to do or aren't willing to put the time in. And I take it as a great satisfaction out of getting to bloom here. Again, remember, we're in the Northwest. Not too many orchids grow. They're interestingly, by the way, orchids grow on every continent in the world except Antarctica. And even here in the Northwest, there are six species, six out of the 30,000 species, six that can be found here on the Olympic Peninsula. They're out in the woods. We found them at Fort Worden, and people can look for them in the spring. They will bloom in the spring.
Unbelievable.
Have you ever had someone donate a plant that just knocks your socks off, something that was unexpected?
I think it would be fair to say my socks get knocked off regularly. I'm very interested in what I call creative biology. And tropical plants, which, as I've said before, don't grow around Port Townsend, it's kind of like where life began. And that's the diversity and the complexity and the beauty of these plants is just amazing to me. And I'm continually fascinated. So it's hard for me to identify just one.
Dick Schneider, thank you so much for joining us here on Community Ties. It's just been a wonderful visit.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you both for coming and for listening to me for a little bit. And to the extent that we can give orchids a second chance and support the Orchid Recovery Project, we'd sure appreciate that from our friends and local citizens.
Thank you so much, Dick. I look forward to bringing my three orchids to you.
Amen. And if I had an orchid, I'd bring one too. I'll have to look for one. Maybe I'll look for one here.